What does it mean? Break it down for us what you mean when you describe yourself as a gender outlaw.
In simplest terms, I break the rules of gender. The rules of gender, as people see it now, is that first and foremost, gender has everything to do with your biological sex assigned at birth. And no, it doesn't. Gender is how we interact, how we stand up and say, this is how I want to perform my life. These are the clothes I want to wear. This is the attitude I want to be able to have. And cisgender people do it all the time. They just, for the most part, happen to be lucky enough to enjoy the kind of life that is dictated for the sex they were assigned at birth. Many of us, and I go to tens of thousands, I would guess, aren't into that. So right away, we got to remove gender from sex. Secondly, there are only two genders, male and female. And again, I say no, because I really was never successful at being male, and I never really made it as a female, so I'm neither. And as soon as you say neither to gender, and again, gender, not sex, not biological sex, I'm neither male nor female, gender-wise, you break up what was thought to be a binary of two and two only, and it shatters and allows for many, many, many other genders. Then you've got gender as it is tied to sexuality. Right now, we tend to define and embrace our sexuality solely based upon our birth sex and the birth sex of another person, the relationship of those two things. Once you acknowledge gender is different than that, well, you can have a lot more fun with who you're really attracted to and what really fires up your imagination when it comes to erotic possibilities. So there's a lot more to erotic enjoyment than the birth sex of your partner, I promise.
So what keeps you inspired and motivated to give back to others, especially during those disheartening and discouraging moments, which are a part of life?
I don't think there could be anything much more discouraging or disheartening than the murder of 49 people at the Pulse in Orlando, and you go, oh golly, oh golly, oh golly, oh golly. I'm not in a position to deal with that kind of hatred head on. I'm not the person to sit down with Ted Cruz or Donald Trump or any number of other arch conservative politicians who want to silence the growth of neither nor gender, neither nor sexuality, and both and gender, and both and sexuality. I'm not in a position to do that. Caitlyn Jenner is, and I hope she does, and I wish her well, and I think she'll do something about that. But for me, my best tactic is to play the fool, ask the funny questions, embrace my kids, fight as fiercely as I can as a mama lion on their behalf, and promote unity within marginalized peoples of sexuality and gender. That's what I've seen as my job now, being the old fart that I am, 68. So I can say, there, hang on, take a deep breath. It'll all be all right. No one's threatening your sexuality or gender. People are just enjoying theirs.
And speaking of Caitlyn Jenner, there was a reality television show called I Am Kate, and you were on episodes of that. And while you obviously aren't conservative in the least, Caitlyn Jenner did describe herself that way. But you come at people with this sort of open-mindedness, you know, you embrace her in a hug within seconds of meeting her. Talk about, I guess, why you decide to approach people that way. Oftentimes, people who might be on the radical side of politics or expression can alienate others, but it's not something I really see you doing. So can you talk about that?
Sure. That's got a lot of answers. That's a lot of questions there. One thing I'd like to correct, I did more than appear in a couple of episodes. I was a season regular and billed as a co-star. I'm a fond believer in an old Zen saying, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. If that's true, then anything that I do consciously is more or less a rehearsal for anything else I do consciously. And since what I would really like to do is live a life of peace and love, harking back to my old hippie boy days, I can't allow myself the luxury of vitriol and anger when it comes to someone who's got an opposing viewpoint to my own. And I just need to look at people and say, whatever it is they're doing, whatever it is they believe in, they're doing that and they're believing in it because it eases their suffering to do so. And to them, it's the truth. And once I can do that, I look beyond either or. I look beyond that as an enemy. I look beyond, oh, this person doesn't agree with me, so I can slam the door on them. And I can open my mind, I can open my heart, and I'm so glad that I did, especially in the case of Caitlyn Jenner. Sure, she's a wackazoid right winger. Okay, I'm a wackazoid left winger. You know, and we make each other laugh. But more than anything else, Caitlyn is a good sport. Caitlyn is a champion. She will champion people. And she's generous. Way generous. She shares the spotlight. She shares the stage. She welcomes people into her heart and her home. And that's what I found simply by not walking away when offered the chance to meet her.
And could you speak more about the place of joy and playfulness in your spirituality and the living of your life?
Comedy is a tactic of the oppressed. It always has been. The greatest comedians have led the most f***ed up lives. Yes, you'll have to beep it. Have been hit the most. And those of us who can make laughter out of that, it's my only refuge. It's really the only thing I have that puts my foot forward into joy. If I can laugh about something, then it has no power to shame me or harm me in any way. Humor, and comedy especially, is one of the biggest deterrents to oppression. Shame is what oppressors do to people who don't agree with them. I'm trans. You can shame me on that. I'm a dyke. You can shame me on that. I'm into BDSM. You can shame me on that. I got piercings and body parts I wasn't born with. You can shame me on that. On the other hand, I can turn all that into a joke that I'm telling, and we can all have a good laugh about it and get on with the business of caring for each other, which is really what it comes down to, and that's why I'm supporting Hillary, because it does take a village. And she articulated that very well. You can't have a village and have... You can't have a village with blood enemies existing as next-door neighbors. It doesn't work. You can have disagreements, absolutely, disagreements all the time. But you got to resolve them well. And that's what our country hasn't yet learned how to do. It hasn't learned yet how to resolve disagreements. Our country falls back on tactics we all learned in middle school. Attack the outsider. Make the outsider so miserable that they want to kill themselves. And those two techniques are at the core of Donald Trump's politics.
So one thing that stuck with me, I talked to you a few years ago. I think it was the tour for the book, A Queer and Pleasant Danger, which I loved, and Kyle's in the middle of reading. But one thing you had said to me about, I guess, just life in general was do whatever it takes to survive and make yourself happy. But there's one rule, and the rule is don't be mean. And that stuck with me, and I like that, you know, it's secular. You don't have to be anything to kind of take on that mantra. Is that still a message you try and impart?
Yeah. I came up with that one in a book I wrote called Hello, Cruel World, with the enticing subtitle of 101 Alternatives to Suicide for Teens, Freaks, and Other Outlaws. I started writing that right after 9/11. I live in New York City, and we could watch the smoke rising from Ground Zero out our back door off the fire escape. 3 days after the attack, the wind changed and started to blow north into our home, and it was a terrible smoke. It was acrid, and you could feel it. It was palpable. And my girlfriend and I looked at each other, and we realized we were inhaling people. And at that point, I thought, of what value is postmodern gender theory in a world gone this far mad? Long story short, the only thing left I had to write about was I know how to stay alive in a world that would rather see me dead. I've begun suicidal actions, and I've considered suicide 6 times that I can remember in my life. And each time I found something better to do. And so I wanted to write a book that would keep kids out of harm's way, out of self-harm's way. And I looked up suicide. I did research into it, and all the suicide prevention books I could find basically came up with a rule that came down to be good. And then the rest of the book was proceeding to tell you exactly how to be good and what guidelines you had to follow. And I never found a book that would keep me alive. And I thought, well, really what I have to do is give people permission to do whatever it is they need to do to make their life more worth living. Anything. I can't really fault anything, but that didn't work either. The last guy that said that was Aleister Crowley. He said, do as thou wilt. And one of his most profoundly successful students was L. Ron Hubbard. That kind of megalomaniacal, self-centered point of view really won't work in the world. And so I did have to put one rule in the book. It was the only rule in the whole book, and I'm proud of that. And the rule is don't be mean. Anything else goes. Anything you can do, illegal, immoral, unethical, self-destructive things, as long as you're not mean. And if it makes your life more worthwhile living, hopefully, as time goes on and you learn how not to be mean to other people, you become less and less mean to yourself, and you do less of the destructive things. And you learn to develop your own code of morals and your own system of ethics as one that embraces the principle, not so much the rule now, but a principle of not being mean to other people. Dalai Lama taught me something really helpful. This is about 7 years ago in New York City at the Beacon Theater. I was in the audience with 2,700 other people. And he said, look, we Buddhists believe that there's an infinite amount of time. Time is infinite. And there's a finite number of sentient beings. Given a finite number of sentient beings and an infinite amount of time, it stands to reason that everybody you meet has at one point been your mother and given you, even for just a brief moment, unconditional love. And if you start looking at people like that, it's going to help you walk through the world with much more peace than you had before.